Welcome to Good Dogs, a show dedicated to helping you understand your dog better so you can live a better life together. This is one of the original Good Dog shows from many years ago, but the advice is still right on the money. Dr. Gail Watkins, you have moved to North Carolina, but you are still available to all of us with the miracle of the internet and podcast. So I'm very happy for your move. I know you have 9 million acres and a lake and your goldens are in heaven. But I recently had a situation where I wished you were still in a, like, you know, northern New York State, and I could just put Wanda in a car and drive up with you and go, look, this problem isn't that bad. I just need a little bit of expert guidance. So let me set up the situation for you. It's the issue of prey drive, and is that aggression? And anyway, what is aggression? So those of you that remember my show with Lisa recently, where I talked about Wanda pretty much all of a sudden going after some small, fluffy, poodle-like dogs. The first one screamed loudly. It screamed before she ever got to it, and the human screamed, and the human had it on a leash and lifted it up into her arms. It was very exciting. And a couple of weeks later, she didn't harm it. She found it thrilling. She was going after this small, white, fluffy, screaming, wiggling thing that somebody snatched up into the air. And then she caught a baby bunny. I felt really sad for the bunny. But, you know, good for you, Wanda. You're a dog. You did what you want to do. And then the next time we saw a small, fluffy, poodle-like dog, it wasn't white, but I don't think the color's the point, she found that a pretty good target. And then there was the year-old, long-haired dachshund owned by my tennis coach, who Wanda has known since he was 8 weeks old, and she was, at that time, maybe 8 months old. And the guy is a guy that goes on his back and whizzes up into the air. You as a breeder would say, great breeding. He's done that since he was a baby. He's just a wuss. But she's used to that. Well, she went after his little belly. She really did seem to go after him. So I was concerned and alarmed. So Lisa said, well, maybe, you know, prey drive and it's natural and you need distance and, you know, get the attention on you. And she said, you know all that, but maybe you want to work with a trainer. So I'd gone to a puppy class with a trainer and I thought, you know, this is a good investment. Right now she's 18 months old. It's a turning point. This is a good investment in turning this away from anything small, wiggly, and screamy, not being something that you go after. So I call up this trainer who's very nice, and I said, you know, Wanda, who you had as a puppy in your puppy class, she's 18 months, and she's in heat, and she's just suddenly a couple of times got after these small dogs that were a lot like the rabbit she caught. I think it's a prey dog. She said, I don't do aggression. So I'm like, I just wanted to say, check, please. It was only a phone call. And I thought, Dr. Gail, I don't do aggression. And I said, well, it's not really aggression. She's great with dogs. This is a prey drive, I think. My other trainer friend told me that. And she said, you know, I'm just not comfortable with aggression. There are trainers who deal with it all the time. I just don't deal with it. I feel like saying, well, what all do you do anyhow? So what is that all about?
It teach them to sit?
Only sit or down, perhaps.
That's the advanced class.
The down is the advanced one. The long stay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is real life.
It is. It is. And it's one of my frustrations sometimes with trainers. And I don't know this trainer, so I don't want to speak to her specifically. But teaching dogs to do things like sit and lie down is so trivial compared to teaching them how to live in our lives.
Thank
and
you.
Be mannerly and
yes.
Be polite, be safe on leashes, come when called against really heavy distractions.
Yep.
Those are the things dogs leave, not to steal things off the counter, you know, be housebroken.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have a dog that does those four things, comes when called, is polite in social company, doesn't pee and poop in your house, and doesn't steal things, you've got a nice dog. It doesn't matter if it sits or downs.
Right. So. And by the way, those four things Wanda does in spades. She also kisses you to death. She's exuberant. Aww. She's the happiest girl on the planet.
Yep. Yep. But she is a sporting dog.
Oh, she is.
Hunting dog.
Oh, yeah.
And for 200 years, we have bred those dogs. We've selectively chosen those dogs to have very high degree of prey drive. Now, remember, any dog worth its salt out in the world has to have prey drive in order to survive. It wouldn't eat if it didn't have prey drive of some sort. So there's nothing abnormal about prey drive. However, there are some challenges with it. And the stronger it is, the greater the challenge. Because the way I describe it is that the dog's brain focuses in solely onto the prey. And when that happens and the brain focuses, it can't hear. It has
right.
trouble seeing anything other than the prey. And so it becomes this laser focus. And so people will say to me, it's as if he can't hear you. And I think, it's because he can't. You're in the background. I always describe it like you're in the background going, Wanda, good. And she can't.
And she's seeing this delightful bunny or this bunny-like dog, whatever the heck. Probably doesn't smell like a dog. It's probably been bathed in, you know, perfume or
right.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. So a lot of what's happening is visual, particularly in
right.
boarding dogs. There mm-hmm. isn't a lot of scenting. It's visual and it's oral, as in they hear it. And so I think you're right. The screaming does not help at all. If anything, it triggers this insanity
yes.
in dogs, because if you think about it, this is going to sound truly horrible, but if you're killing your prey and it's screaming, good chance you're going to be successful and get dinner.
Right.
And
right.
So
it's a reinforcer.
It's very, very much a reinforcer. And so you visually are chasing this. It's so self-reinforcing to chase, grab, and then get the screaming involved.
Right.
And only then do they go, hey, it might be a dog.
What the heck?
Exactly. But by then, their brain is awash in these neurochemicals that feel so good.
Right.
Because if you think about it, if it didn't feel good, you wouldn't be going after a deer with horns and hooves, a squirrel that can bite. You know, it has
right.
to feel good for them to actually be able to complete the behavior against, you know, odds that might mean that they get injured or something like that. And so the brain has been created so that the further down that chain they get to actually grabbing, biting, and shaking, the stronger the neurochemicals are, the more powerful they are, the more they take over the dog's brain. And it's not even as if they're thinking, golly gee, I ought to do this. They're just sort of in a brain moment. And so for us to control prey drive, we can't let it get that far.
Right, right.
And that's where Lisa was talking about distance.
Yes.
We have to have taught them that you always listen for me. I don't care how far that chain you're down. I don't know how care how good it feels. You must be listening for me and be responsive to me. And that's a time when things like cookies don't work very well, because if you think about it, it's the cookie's not the point. It's that whole behavior, the
yes.
grab, the chase, the shake. That's the really cool
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, and I would have to have just as good. I'd have to have a really warm chipmunk in my pocket
right,
and
exactly.
be dangling and go, no, here, come have the chipmunk. Don't eat
exactly.
that poodle.
Or have it on the end of a rope so
yes.
that you drag it, which, you know, just sounds awful, but it really, really is true. Now, and she isn't unusual that small dogs, particularly if it started with a screaming small
yes,
dog.
Yes, that is what triggered it.
Right, right. That now has captured that behavior chain that she succeeded with the rabbit. So she went down this behavior chain, and man, that was pretty awesome.
It was
a rabbit.
Great.
And hey, poodles and dachshunds, you know,
they
initially, during the initial process, aren't that different. And so it does really put a lot of responsibility on us to make sure our dogs understand. And for me, it's cats and dogs. They must recognize that they cannot do this behavior with dogs and cats. And then remember, I have hunting dogs and I have chickens.
Ooh.
And we had to have a few discussions about what you would do. And chickens actually sound an awful lot like your
They make a lot of noise.
Poodle. Oh, yeah. When something's chasing them, do they fly away?
Squawk.
And sit in a tree?
No.
They scream, squawk, flap their wings.
Yeah, they look fabulous.
Around. Oh, they are so much fun. They just are so much fun. And so getting very clear with her, and the trainer may have backed away because it's a really difficult thing to do without some sort of correction. Be it a scolding, be it a leash where, you know, you just are hanging on and she hits the end of it.
Yep.
Because when they're in prey drive, it's extremely difficult to get them out of it without some sort of physical, I always say physical assault, but that sounds
right.
too strong.
Right.
But a touch, a sound, a light, but it's really hard to get in front of them, but an air horn, something along those lines that shocks them out of it, because otherwise they're just running down the end of this path and it feels wonderful.
And they're just going to wind up where they want to be. Of course, if it's going to require, which is sort of what I've decided, but I'd love more input from you, that I be on hyper alert. I can't just wander a bit mindlessly listening to my yummy book on tape while the girls run wildly through the fields, and if there's people and dogs, so be it. I have to, at least the last two times that I went back to this area where there tend to be dogs from time to time. It's still Vermont. It's one dog every 100 acres or something. But you know, there's some. If I see a dog, I call her to me. If it's at a distance, I see them at a big distance. If they're big, wide open fields, she comes to me. And then I clip on the leash and tell her she's great, and I give her a treat. And then we just walk. I don't give her any chance to go on her belly and do her play stalking and then run after and hope to get that great reaction. If she runs to a dog who just goes, oh, please, grow up, and just blows her off, she just keeps on going.
Yeah, isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
It's the chase.
It's something that says, it's like a bully in the children's schoolyard.
It is. It is.
It's that little kid who goes, oh, don't do that to me. And everyone's like, oh, that's fun. We're getting a good reaction.
Exactly. So let's go back a step. And I think I want to support you in what you're doing, which is management.
Right.
And so you absolutely must manage her, because the more time she gets to practice this successfully.
Yes.
And successfully could just be putting her mouth on the dog and pushing it to the ground. But, you know, they're not in their right mind at moments
That's
like that.
Right.
So you don't want it to go any further. And you don't want a person to get in the middle of it. I mean,
Correct.
It just deteriorates badly at that point. So absolutely, management is the key. And you're doing the right thing by calling her, rewarding her, hopefully with yummy treats, and then
– Well, it happens to be, come to think of it, it's a Halo Live a Little dried rabbit. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
I just realized that. Yes, it literally is. I just realized, uh-oh. Well, okay, sort of like the bunny, I guess.
so that works, and it works because if you think of that dog or that animal as a magnet, and you're a magnet, and the closer that she is to you, the stronger your magnetic field is. But the closer,
oh, that's
she
a good one.
Yeah, the closer she gets to the other animal, the weaker yours is, the stronger that one is.
I love that.
And so you have a distance at which you will be successful and a distance at which you will not.
Right.
And your goal is to begin to extend your power further. But you're doing the right thing for right now. But the next step is to set up training. And so one of the ways that you can do that is if you have the dachshund friend who is a perfect,
right.
a perfect dog to start with. And that's going to be on leash, and you are going to do your obedience around him. And if she looks at him as if he's a bunny, you're really going to get all over her. Don't you do that. That's your friend. You don't look at him that way. Don't even start with that little glint in your eye, or
right.
something you can tell their ears set
yeah.
is different. Their neck is different.
She hunches down a little. She gets lower in the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
At kind of in a frozen stalk position.
And that's probably the point at which you might be successful. And the instant she leaves that, you probably will not be able to call her back.
Right.
I don't know if you've been able. But start with your dachshund friend. But the other thing to do is when you see that dog in the field and you see that she might be showing some interest, you're going to call her, you're going to reward her, you're going to put the leash on, and then you're going to see if you can go up to that dog and show her it's a dog, but under control, on leash. So, you know, you're going to follow the person. I mean, don't stalk them, but you're going to follow them. And they're going to be like, oh, my God, there's a lady with a Weimer on her chasing
me. There's a lady who just put her dog on a leash. That's not a good sign. That dog was loose before. Well, you know, I actually did see such a dog from far away, and I was with a friend whose two labs run around with us, full size, of course. And she said, oh, that's only a lab. I said, it looks really small from here, but maybe we're far away. I'm putting the leash on. Come on, good Wanda. Here, have some dried rabbit from Halo. Yum, yum. I didn't think of it being rabbit. That's hilarious. Fetter, so the very thing that started this off. And as we got closer, ooh, it was a lab puppy. Now, I did not want her to see a small, squirmy, maybe squealy, and make that puppy have a bad experience, which Wanda never had one in her life. So I just keep on going. I kept a tight leash, and I said, keep on going. It's none of your business. And Maisie went over and visited with it, and I just kept on going because I couldn't run the risk of that little puppy that was not on a leash and not under any kind of control, you know, getting scared, right?
No, I think that was the absolutely perfect thing to do because you're right. And puppies are going to come running up under their noses, flip on their belly.
Yes, or do all sorts of things that could make you quite rabbit-like.
Well, exactly.
This has gotten so interesting. I forgot to have a break. We're going to have a quick break right now when we come back. I just want to ask you if I could set something up. This was the idea that this other trainer had. I think your opinion of her, certainly mine, is in the toilet. I can't imagine what yours is going to be. I'm going to tell you her idea for me. It was like, whoa, okay, maybe. Let me ask Dr. Gale about that. But I didn't tell her that. We'll be right back.
The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you in part by Spot Platinum, an allergy test to determine which elements in your dog's environment or diet may be causing his scratching or licking. Spot Platinum can detect allergies for which they can make a USDA-approved oral spray custom-tailored to your dog's specific needs to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done more than 500,000 allergy tests over 25 years. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. Support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. Shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxaCheck for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon.
This show is brought to you with the generous support of Nordic Naturals, omega-3 fish oil products that provide dogs and cats with the same premium quality omega-3 fish oils as for people. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses responsibly sourced, healthy wild fish and uses third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness in their oils. We are also supported by the Pet Anti-Breeding System, a chastity belt harness for female dogs in heat to prevent unwanted breeding. This innovative harness gives you the peace of mind to delay spaying your dog, recommended based on emerging scientific evidence that spaying too young has serious health consequences. The Pet Anti-Breeding System harness also helps responsible breeders avoid an accidental breeding while allowing their girls the freedom to be with their pack. And the belt also works for incontinence, a big help if you have a leaky girl. Learn more at PABSForPets.com. That's PABSForPets.com. All right, Gail Watkins. So here's the idea of this trainer who said, I don't do aggression. And when I heard her, I thought, that is the lamest thing I've ever heard. So I said, it's not really aggression, okay? It's prey drive, not aggressive towards dogs. She thinks it's prey. Well, I just don't deal with that at all. I'm just not comfortable with it, i.e. aggression, capital A. There are some trainers who just specialize in that. I said, Well, I don't really want a guy that thinks it's a Belgian Malinois that's trying to eat other pit bull, you know, friendly pit bulls. This is really not that. Well, I'm just not comfortable. Here's what you could do, she said. Maybe you could get like a stuffed dog. Yep, that's what she said. Mm-hmm. Put a stuffed dog and have it on a leash and like have somebody like hide in the bushes. Which, of course, how many people with a dog hide in the bushes? It's not all that realistic, actually. And have her wiggle this stuffed toy dog. Oh, boy. I mean, it's not the worst idea in the world.
No, but I doubt you're going to get
don't
much
think so.
Of a reaction.
I don't think so. She's not very. She's a really good hunter, my Wanda.
Yeah,
she's no idiot.
She's most likely, she'll fall for it once. But what are you going to do when that... What exactly is your next step if she chases it? Because you don't want her to become afraid of toys or people hiding in bushes.
Oh, God, it's just a cascade, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I might try it once and see what the reaction is, but I don't think it would be
the foundation of
my prey drive. But, Tracy, you live in Vermont, so you have birds and you have squirrels and you have rabbits, and working on her control around those things will help you. So, yes, you can't go walking with your books anymore. I'm sorry. Not
I know.
For a while.
I realize that for sure.
But you're going to look for those moments when she does that little shoulder drop, and you are going to do whatever it takes to get her under control. You're going to run the other direction. You're going to fall on the ground. You can use, I know that some people won't be happy with this, a shake can. Because remember, you need a sound, a sight, or a touch that surprises her out of prey drive. And
there's people who don't like shake cans?
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
yes.
For heaven's sake. Y'all out there, just settle down, will you, please?
Yeah, exactly.
This is not whipping your dog or putting it in the stocks.
Right. No, you're just trying to startle her. So if you think about, you know, that you're watching Wild Kingdom, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom,
right.
And the lion is going through the woods or through the savannah, and she's totally focused on the gazelle, and there is a sharp sound. And it completely blows the focus. And usually the lion will turn around with this disgusted look on its face.
Like, you ruined my hunt.
You ruined my hunt. And then you're going to very cheerily say, what a good dog. Come have some rabbit. And
you're
going to reward her for breaking off. But you're going to have to find the thing that breaks off her hunt.
Okay.
And you're going to try to put it in place initially as soon as you see that shoulder drop. And then as you see her be more successful, where you actually don't have to do anything but maybe rattle a shake can or clap your hands, then you can start doing it after she leaves for the bird, the squirrel, or the rabbit. Don't do it after she leaves for the poodle. You're going to make
sure
that the dogs and cats are safe. But the wild animals are usually pretty quick. Baby bunnies aren't, but the rest of them are usually pretty fast.
One of them got unlucky. Of course, I have to tell you that now she's, you know, 20 months old, and every time that she's hunted a rabbit through the window, I go get that rabbit. I mean, not rabbit. Squirrel. So this is what I've been telling her. Get the squirrel.
Yes.
And then the chipmunks go chippity-chippity up in the rocks. And she leaps like a gazelle herself to get them. I'm like, good girl. Because I know she's really not going to get them. So unfortunately, I've been rewarding all of that.
Oh, you've been encouraging it.
Yeah.
Encouraging it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, never mind. This is a great beginning to my getting on top of this. And it's really a great advice to anyone who has behavior. The best thing you can do is keep it from beginning or interrupt it early on, turn it around towards you, and little by little maybe reduce the desire to go do that thing. Thank you, Gail.
Bye-bye, Tracy.